editing software, and I use something. There's a link to my tools to the one I use. It's called GoldWave.
Okay.
Now, GoldWave came out with a new version, a 5-point-something, but I tried that one, and I've been used to a 4.7 version, and I would recommend if you do go to GoldWave and get this software, you can download a free version for about $50, get the older version, the 4.7, because it, in my opinion, it's a lot easier to do your editing with that version. And then that software will allow you to cut out pieces of your recording that you don't want included.
Okay.
And you can cut, and you can paste, you can move things around. There's a lot of flexibility. It's just like a Microsoft Word document. You can cut, paste, move sentences, you know, move around paragraphs. You can enhance volume. There's all kinds of things you can do, but it's a great tool for cleaning up your audio recordings. Now, once you have your audio recording all cleaned up, you want to get it up onto your website. And there's one tool that I recommend for someone just starting out, which is very effective, and it's called InstantAudio.com. Again, there's a description of how you can benefit from InstantAudio.com and a link that directly links you to them. It's a service.
InstantAudio.com.
InstantAudio.com.
Okay.
It's so easy. So you're going to have to learn a little bit about how to put up a website. If you don't, you have a webmaster who can do it for you.
Yeah.
InstantAudio.com allows you to take your file once it's all edited and cleaned up, and you'll convert it into what's called an MP3 file. And once you have this MP3 file, you can go into InstantAudio.com and upload and encode. You just link the file up, you click the button, and it sucks it into the website and turns it into a Flash file.
Yeah, which that's what I wanted to get to. Years ago, if you just put the MP3 on the site, I tried doing this like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, they would have to download it to the desktop, not the desktop, but it would essentially have to download it to the person who wants to listen to it, which takes time. And then a lot of times, if you tried to make it in real time, say you just wanted to play it immediately, like when you come onto the site, it wouldn't play the whole thing. It would play all the way up to the point where it's been loaded, and then it would stop, and then more of it would load, then it would play, and then it would stop. But with Flash, it's instant. They hit that play button. You hear it right away.
As technology is getting better and better and faster and faster, you know, that's the whole goal, is to be able to...
Positive feedback from...
Oh, yeah, that's why on my site you can listen to audios three ways. You can listen to it in Flash. So even if someone has the slowest modem, it's streaming audio.
Exactly.
So someone can listen to these recordings even with a slow modem without waiting.
It's playing off their servers, not their own connection feed.
Right. And then I have transcripts. A lot of people don't like sitting, and they like reading. So I have the word-for-word transcripts of the entire audio recording, which we'll have for this as well. So it'll all be linked up. So websites I talk about, we can have the URLs in there in the transcripts, and it's dynamic. They can read it. They can link to the places we're talking about. And some people like to learn that way. And then I also have the MP3 file. So people who are a little more skilled, they can download an MP3 file, listen to it on their, they can load it on their Palm Pilot or their, you know, MP3 player or
so when there's a gym or in a car.
Yeah, and they can take it with them.
Right. I have noticed on your site you have a lot of testimonials, probably more than I've seen on most other websites. Do you proactively seek testimonials from your current customers? How do you go about that, and maybe why are you using so many, or why do you even use testimonials? Why does anybody use them?
Okay, I love testimonials. I don't believe you could ever have too many testimonials. I wanted testimonials to provide proof of my service. You know, there's nothing better than a testimonial telling someone else how good this person is. It comes off a lot more credible than me just telling you how good I am. So testimonials are very powerful in your sales letters, in your web copies, in anything you do. And I get them both audio and written down. Now, I was actively seeking testimonials, and I did this when I was giving away my free CD-ROM. I would give away 65 hours of my audio recordings on CD-ROM. And they would, once they ordered the CD-ROM, they would be entered into an autoresponder. And when I was aggressively seeking testimonials, I would have like a 15 or 16 sequential autoresponder emails that would go out. And four or five of them were asking for a testimonial throughout the series.
That's interesting. I might try this.
It was very effective. It was, by the way, did you get your CD-ROM? If you got it, can you give me any opinion on what you thought about it? You don't have to dictate a letter. Just jot down what you thought, blah, blah, blah. Then I'll ask for it again. I go, you know, I never got your testimonial. Would you mind just taking a couple minutes and giving your ideas of what you thought about my audio CD? And then I would ask for it again and again. again. Now, it'd piss a couple people off, but I would get a lot of testimonials, and then I would just collect them and put them on my testimonial pages.
And going back to what we said earlier, so that everybody remembers, they may think, oh, my God, Michael's crazy, you know, but this is all automated. This is autoresponder. You just have to manually put their email address into the autoresponder after the order, and that's it.
All automatic.
And then, from my understanding, because I also have audio on some of my websites, I use a different service than you use, but do you have the 800 number for them to call, and then they type in your extension, they can leave the testimonial? Is that how yours is set up?
Yeah, with InstantAudio.com, the service that allows you to convert your audio recordings into Flash, they have a testimonial line. So they provide you with an 800 number with a code, so you can send that out to any of your people you want to get testimonials from and ask them to call it and leave it on your 800 testimonial line. And then you can take that code and create a little button with audio testimonials on your site.
That's great, because that's what I always try to teach everybody. You try to get as automated as possible so you can free up, even if it's 10 minutes of your day that you're freeing up every day, it just starts to add up. Because if you say, oh, we'll forget about it, you know, maybe I'll do that later. Later on, those 10 minutes really start to work into hours a day, and that's when you start to see yourself working into those 15, 20 hours a day. And some of that stuff is not the stuff that you love to do, because we love business. We love our own businesses. But that's the kind of stuff I don't think I'd actually want to be doing myself, like calling people up. Do you think you want to do a testimonial? Because now it's like it's more of like a hound, you know? You just send out that automated email, and then it has a phone number for them to call, 800 number. Doesn't cost them anything. You got 5 minutes. What do you have to say about my seminar? Anything good? And if they have something good to say, maybe put it on the site, you know?
That's right. Now, here's something really important. In doing this, I've tested the number of requests for a testimonial. Rarely will you get someone to leave you a testimonial with the first or second asking. And you have to have three or four. I think I had five times I would ask for that testimonial, and that was extremely successful. And that goes to show you in anything, when you're asking someone to buy something, most...
Okay. They say, Corey Rudel always said, it takes sometimes up to seven times for the average person to be contacted before they're actually purchased from. It's like that with everything. So if people think that the website, the advertising, the direct marketing, and the keywords is it, and that's it, it's over. So the question I have now is, do you have a method for pricing your product? And if you do, how do you typically determine how to price a product when you sell it?
I have no real strategic method on how I price my products. What I like to do with my products on my site is I don't like to sell inexpensive products. I think about the most inexpensive product on my site at hardtofindseminars.com is around $300. And if it's any less than that, at this point in my business, I really don't even want to mess with it. I'm looking for a specific market. I'm looking for a market that has money. I'm looking for a market where if someone wants to learn marketing, that in some aspects money really isn't an issue, even though in some cases it is. And I'm not looking, I'm trying to weed out, you know, price.
You're going more for the corporate customer or the more elite customer?
I'm going for the customer who has a high desire to educate themselves. And if they have a high desire to educate themselves and they want the product, the $300 isn't going to be a problem. Yeah, my market is maybe a different market than what you have. It is not
not startup.
It is not a startup business opportunity market. Most of the people I deal with know about marketing, they know about J. Abraham, or they're intensely interested in it, and they've got a passion for it. And that really is...
I give a review on J. Abraham on my site, Insider Tools, and I say, you know, obviously, Che is the guy, he's the man, you know. But if you're somebody who's starting out, it might not be the first route you want to take, because it's a ton of money for somebody who's starting out. If you're just starting out and you don't know where you're going, you're looking left, you're looking right, you're like, where am I at here? I want to do something, but I don't know what I want to do. That might not be the guy you want to start with. But if you're somebody who maybe has a business, or you're more serious about really starting a business, you do want to learn his strategy.
Absolutely. No matter what, you should get the money, borrow the money, beg, borrow, steal to learn from the best, because learning from the best is only an investment. You know, if you're...
Are you big into linking partners, and have you created alliances with other websites to link to create more natural, better natural listing for you on the search engines, or do you do that with your own websites linking back and forth?
You know, I'm not, and it's something I need to learn more about. I'm not real super educated in linking and all those strategies, and I've been talking to several supposedly experts in it, and it's just not something I've concentrated on, but it is something I'm interested in doing in some of my newer marketing projects, so I'm starting to learn about it.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you firsthand, it is great to get natural listing, because you're driving traffic to your site already. You're already driving traffic from the online advertising that you do. So if you can get a few different sites that are getting that online advertising traffic, because you're basically paying for that traffic that's coming there, and you get, like, say, you have a bunch of them, you have three or four different sites, and then you start to link the sites together, that's when you start to see yourself in the natural listings climbing. I know that from experience.
Yeah, now, I have done that. Like, for instance, I have my bio, my entire bio on my ID10 site, and then my Michael Senoff site links to hardtofindseminars.com. Well, with other Michael Senoff, I have purposely, it's almost like a landing page where it directly links to Hard to Find Seminars. So, yeah, I actually have done that where all my sites are linking to each other. I need to actually talk to my web guy and make sure that that's done because that will help me.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps your natural listing.
I am currently with the Executive Audio Institute recordings. This is a strategy to get a large amount of linking partners. So I'll provide all that content for free where someone can put they can put links. Well, I mean, I think there's going to be a way to link it all to my site, but...
Well, here's the key, because I know you're leading into, is ClickBank with the affiliate links, and I can tell you that is 100% true. You're going to start getting a bunch of... Your natural listing will climb through the search rankings for the... With the executive site, mm-hmm. that's like a linked page for all your sites. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's just all 117 hours of my audio recording.
Do you use press releases as a form of marketing, or have you in the past as a press release for your Hard to Find seminars? Have you ever done anything like that?
No, I've never done any press releases for Hard to Find seminars.
Have you done it for any of your businesses at all?
I have done it. Actually, it is one offline strategy I used when I was marketing my Invisible Ink marking pens.
Okay.
I designed a press release, and I did it in the format that Paul Hartunian teaches in his course. And if you go to paulhartunian.com, or I don't know exactly what his website is, but he's an expert in press releases. And you can see samples of formatted press releases, which are great press releases to model. And I did a press release that I sent out to police stations for the use of my Invisible Ink marking pen, and it was very successful. I faxed it out when faxing was legitimate and everything. And my press release landed on the fourth page of a huge publication called Police Magazine. And I also got a request for an image, you know, showing a picture of my product in use. And that one press release generated so much interest for my Invisible Ink pens. It was incredible. I think almost... You know, 100 police stations around the country responded from that magazine printed article. That was
a similar experience with press release.
Yeah,
somebody told me to do it. I know a guy who knows a guy who works for PR Newswire,
mm-hmm.
and he said I can get you a press release done on your website, which was rateordate.com, and I don't own it anymore. I had listed it on eBay, you know, just for giggles. Like, you know, let's see, well, what could I get for something like this?
Mm-hmm.
And within a day, it went up to $10,000. I said, wow. I said, well, just for, you know, hoops and giggles, we'll say, right? I said, let me just list it on there and see what the going rate is, because every website that you see, any .com,
mm-hmm.
they sell for like $100, $200. Nothing ever goes for anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're like, you know, you're always wondering, what's my site worth? What's the market willing to pay? It was up to $10,000 within a day. So I talked to my friend. I said, you know, that guy you know at PR's Newswire, can he do a press release for me? So this guy formatted a press release. We threw it out there, and MatchNet PLC contacted me and said, take your listing down. We'll buy it now. And MatchNet owns JDate.com,
mm-hmm.
the largest Jewish dating site, and American Singles. So they told me, take it down, and we'll buy it now. And they sent out the check, and that was that. So it was all because of press release. Yeah, so I can attest that these things work, and apparently you can too.
One negative thing about press releases, you know, there's a lot of people teaching how to, you know, to sell your book through press releases. But let's say you send out press releases to the media. Well, the thing is, it's not an automatic thing because you have to be by the phone, you have to do radio interviews, and you're selling your book through the interview you do with the radio station or the media. And that almost creates you into a hostage position.
Well, speaking of books, what are your views on e-books opposed to creating a book and sending them a tangible product? Do you have anything opposed to that, or do you find that there's a higher return rate on those?
You know, I don't know for sure because I don't sell many e-books. I know with some of the products I have on my site, I have in digital format, but if someone's willing and they want me to, I'll print it out. You know, I think if someone really wants information and it's valuable information, they don't care how they get it. They want the information. They want the ideas. So whether it's in an e-book format or a printed version, I don't think it really matters if your market is hungry enough. Now, if your market's ambivalent and they're not really sure if they want this, you know, an ebook is easier to return because it's digital, and sometimes delivering a tangible product that they can feel and hold.
The impulse buyer, they may just email you back and say, can I get a refund on that? You know, because they just downloaded it and read it real fast. And if it was, like you said, if it's somebody that doesn't know exactly what they wanted, they might just be buying it because they're buying it.
I guess they both have their advantages, and I don't know the right answer.
So do you have a unique marketing technique that you specifically use at all, or have you used in the past? Like a specific, unique, something that's come to your something that you think that comes to mind that is unique for yourself in marketing?
I think the most unique thing that I'm doing that no one's doing is selling through conversational style audio interviews. And I've got a whole section on my site about this. I mean, this is one of the services I provide. If you've got a product or service that you want to sell, I can do what we do is it's like a copywriter who researches what you have. We research your market. We find out what they want. And what we do is we create an interview, kind of like what we're doing here. You're creating an interview with me for your customers because you want to provide them value with some outside experts' advice on what they do. Well, I do the same thing for my customers if they have a product or service. And we create an audio interview. I ask them a series of questions that we've researched what the market wants to know, and it's in a conversational style, like you hear us talking, and it's very effective in selling. And this is something really exciting, and it's an alternative to the long copy that you read in letter form and on websites, because the bottom line is people do not have time to read. But with audio, people can listen while they're multitasking. You can't multitask and do something at your desk while you're reading something. You have to pay 100% attention. But that's why audio is so popular, because you can be listening in the background and learning while you're doing other things. So what if you had 100 people and you wanted to get a message, a 30-minute message to them, what do you think your chance is getting them to absorb your message compared to reading it or listening to it?
Probably listening to it, to be honest with you.
And that's the bottom line. It's almost like getting your mail open.
You didn't see this anywhere. This is something you just kind of...
Well, this is just what I'm learning. It's all evolved and what I'm learning and from experience. You know, I've got an audio recording with I did expert in business buying, how to buy a business. His name is Art Hamill. Back in 1985, he was the number one seller of seminar courses. He put people through a $600 seminar back in 1985 to show them how to buy a business. And I found him on eBay, and I bought his remaining courses back from 1985, which are still valid today. And that one interview, I mean, it's up on my site. I've never marketed it. I've never promoted it. It's just one of 117 hours of interviews sells that $300 course over and over and over and over again. And it's all from an audio recording.
Okay, so that would be that's definitely something unique, because I've never really seen anything like this before, and that's what made me get into it. I'm definitely going to tell you that. It's not a marketing tactic, I would say. For you it is, because you put it on your website. For me, it's more of a back-end, and I'm not really back-end selling it. I'm giving it as a bonus offer, like, hey, listen to this. And I think it really it captures the listener. They listen to this, and they say, oh, my God, listen, this is another internet marketer. He's just like me. These guys work at home, for crying out loud, and that's what I've always wanted to do. And they get to hear us talking about this, and they realize you don't have to be somebody special to do it. You can be an average person included in the course.
Yeah, you can learn the skill to do this yourself. And you're just talking. You're just asking questions that anyone else would ask. That's one. I mean, that's my kind of unique angle of what I'm getting into. But another unique thing that anyone can do is just give as much value as you can. Just give. And you got to have something that's
way more than they can expect with my course. And I think a lot of people, they try to break a course down and sell separate items. Like, I could probably sell this if I wanted to by itself. Mm-hmm. What I do is I just throw it all into one course. I give them everything.
Yeah, just give value, and people respect you for it, and they'll come back and buy from you.
What kind of results have you heard that your customers receive from purchasing the Hard to Find seminar? And basically anything that you've ever sold, what do you see your most successful student? What was your most successful student like? What was his experiences? What have you gotten for feedback?
You know, I really can't recall any specific case example, and I'm sure there's lots of them, but I've never actually gone back and asked this question to my students. And it's something I need to do, because I'd like to document specific case studies of how my audio or how the materials I sell has affected them. But there's over 600 testimonials on the site. Some of them...
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them have specific things of how it's helped them. So you can read through those and get a good idea, but I can't pull off the top of my head any case studies.
Do you have any person in your life right now that you call your right-hand man or woman? And if so, how did you meet this person?
Okay, absolutely. In relation to my business?
Yes, in relation to business.
Absolutely. I have a team of people that everything I do, I have to thank God that they're in my life, even though they're not right here in San Diego. And one, his name is Gaurav, and he is my web guy. I met him on Elance. He had done a job.
Let's back up. Now tell the people about Elance, because I used that too in the past, and I've met some really great people that I have long-lasting relationships with. Look at Elance.com, right?
Yeah, Elance.com. Elance is like eBay. You can buy anything and everything on eBay, right? Well, Elance allows you to buy anything you can think of service-related. Let's say you need website help, editing, transcription services, accounting, you need telemarketers. There's people all over the world who work out of their homes and who also have offices that are bidding on your job. So let's say I need someone to edit this audio recording. Mm-hmm. And I upload the audio recording, and I say, okay, I need someone to edit this two-hour audio recording, and I need it typed in Word, blah, blah, blah. And I can put the job posting up, and literally within 5 to 10 minutes, I'll have people bidding on the job saying, Michael, my name is Joanne, and I've been editing for 20 years, and I'll do your editing for $30. And then you'll have someone who sees her bid, and they're bidding against each other.
Yeah, and the best part is it's the opposite of eBay. The prices go down.
Yeah, the prices go down. So you never want to choose someone unless you absolutely need someone immediately. You want to wait for the lowest price, but you want to make sure they're qualified to do the work.
Yeah, and your own background.
And this is how I found all my administrative support. All my administrative support, from websites to proofreading to transcription services, everything is from a team of people that I've met on eBay. And I would name Gaurav as my web guy. Joanne is my right-hand lady, and then she does transcription and administrative work, and then another great gal on the East Coast, her name is Trish. This is my team, and then myself.
Something like this audio, what do you think something like this typically would cost for somebody, just give you an idea in their head, we already told them everything they need to do about doing audios. You can get the Sony recorder. You can give them the model number. You go in at Radio Shack. You get your little box that you can hook up to the phone. You get the software. You told them about Instant Recorder. You told them everything. So when they want to transcribe it, what's something like that typically cost anyway? The going rates on Elance.
Well, you can,
like $20 maybe.
Well, for we're going to probably have a 2-hour recording.
Okay.
Which is going to end up being maybe about, this could be about 70 pages.
Okay.
In the way I transcribe it. And this is probably going to cost me. I use someone who's very good. You want to make sure you have a transcriptionist who doesn't make mistakes. And you pay for quality, but this probably cost me $65 to transcribe, maybe
and
70.
It's worth it because it's going to land you sales.
$30 an hour is fair.
That's basically what it is. Okay.
You may find it cheaper and you may find it more expensive, but you always negotiate on. You can always negotiate with these people.
Yeah, exactly.
You can open up.
When you develop relationships, I have really good relationships with my programmers, and I found them through Elance. They've developed almost every website that I have. It's a company that I use. And the lady's name is Sibby. She's an Indian lady.
Yep.
And she has a whole team of people that work with her, and they develop all my websites. And as time goes on, everything becomes cheaper, too, because they know you're a relationship customer. You're somebody that's constantly coming back to them.
Absolutely. Well, the average programmer in India is paid around $300 to $400 a month.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can understand, how much you can get done and the value.
Exactly. Some people are like, oh, that's wrong. But that's what their going rates are over there.
That's
what
they're going rate, and that's business. I mean, you're in business not to pay more than you have to, and some of these programs are the best in the world. So you can access a worldwide pool of service. It's really incredible.
Would you consider yourself a gifted sales copywriter? And do you feel that marketing is a gift to an extent, like you're born with the marketing skills, or do you think you can be learned and developed?
I think anything can be learned and developed. I think to some point people are just born naturally entrepreneurial, like yourself and like myself. It's just in us, And as far as gifted, when I came out of my mom, I didn't know how to talk, so,
yeah.
you know.
Learned, exactly.
Yeah, I guess there's got to be a driving motivation that
something may have triggered you over the course of your life, maybe to push you into this.
Yeah, and who knows what it is? But I'm sure there have been influences like that. But I think I'm somewhat gifted in talking and in selling. I think it comes natural to me. I'm an auditory type person.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I think that helps. I'd much rather talk than write. You know, but if I talk, all I got to do is transcribe it, and then I've got my writing done.
Who is your favorite marketing guru? I would presume that it's probably Jay Abraham, and why?
Jay Abraham was probably the most influential as far as understanding large ideas and concepts on marketing. And it all goes back to when I first started studying him. I remember the very first time I saw his material, it was a video set called Optimization. It was two videos of Jay Abraham giving his condensed version on his philosophies at a Tony Robbins Life Mastery Seminar. And it just blew me away. These ideas were so powerful. And I had always been studying sales, like Zig Ziglar and Secrets of Closing the Sale and Brian Tracy and closing strategies and techniques and the proper words and the proper order, you know, the if and and close, that stuff. And that was all great. But understanding marketing gave me the ability to multiply the sales that I'd learned. So Jay Abraham, I say, it was very influential. Gary Halbert, I absolutely love his material and his style and his no BS direct presentation. And then everyone, Dan Kennedy, all the guys I study, I learned something from, and I'm greatly indebted.
Even like the little Don LaPree guys.
Even
there,
Don LaPree,
yeah,
you know.
I take a little bit of something out of everything that I've ever purchased. Even though I put some things into my scan section, mm-hmm. I've always, even the envelope stuffing, I've done envelope stuffing, and I've developed the envelope stuffing into a legitimate business
mm-hmm.
so that it's not the typical envelope stuffing. Maybe people have found me that way, but then I tell them, there's no such thing as a true, legitimate envelope stuffing business. So no matter what I've seen, I always see the good in it.
Right.
You know, that's just me, maybe. Maybe I'm an optimist.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. But I'm in debt to all these educators.
Absolutely. What do you like most about your business, and what do you enjoy the most about your business?
I think what I like most about the business is the flexibility, the freedom, really the control to do what I want. If I don't want to work today, I don't have to work today. It's really not having a boss telling me what to do. I'm pretty much my own boss, and I really enjoy the people I meet who are like-minded. You know, there's not many, you know, when someone's an entrepreneur and they love business, you know, in someone's normal life, there's probably not too many people in your immediate circle or center of influence that are like that. But with the internet and with the people who are ordering my products, I'm talking to people who are like me. You know, it's almost like a fraternity. We speak the same language, and I really enjoy that. I really enjoy when I get a testimonial how my audio recordings have changed someone's life and just opened up a whole new world of opportunity, and it just really influenced it. That makes it all worthwhile.
You just mentioned something that really triggered me and it reminded me of myself. You said you speak to people who are like-minded, okay? And I found, especially being like really into marketing and just being an entrepreneur, I can't talk about this kind of stuff with my family and friends. They're employee-minded. I call them the employees, or like kind of the sheep in life, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Everyone, right.
There should be employees. But when you're the business owner, and especially being a marketing person, I watch a TV commercial. I overanalyze everything I see. I break it down. Are you the same way, and do you talk about your business with your family, or do you just keep business and you talk about it with your associates and your colleagues?
Mainly my associates and
yeah.
colleagues. You know, I discuss it with my wife. I keep her abreast on what's going on, and, you know, it's almost like a soap opera. She knows, you know, she pretty much knows everything that's going on. But, you know, it's people like you that, you know, I really get into the nitty-gritty because you're talking the same language. You
exactly.
you would understand where most people, you
look at you like you have three heads on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
You're very knowledgeable about marketing. What advice can you give that would shave off some time and money to somebody who's trying to become successful with their own online business or becoming a business owner?
I would say the single most important thing is to model someone who's already successful. Whatever you want to do in life, whether it's to have a five-star restaurant that's successful, go find out all the successful five-star restaurant owners and call them up and call them on the phone and ask them if you could borrow a couple minutes of their time and ask them how they got successful. Read books that have been written by
them. It's true. Yeah.
You know, go to the person who's successful and emulate what they do. It's as simple as that. That's going to save years off your life. Why try and invent it and guess what works? Why not go to the people who have already made it work and do what they do, but do it even better
or do it differently? I couldn't agree with you more. Look, I say in my course, there's one specific, I have an audio seminar, in one specific area, I say, the one thing I say to people is, you ever hear the saying, don't try to reinvent the wheel? And I say this all the time, and it's the truth. It may sound so stupid, but it is the truth. You can't reinvent a wheel. It's a circle, you know? So you have to go with what works.
Right.
And so what I do is I always try to go to the source. I go to the people who are successful at what they're doing. I go to other internet marketers or other business owners that have websites. And I've done this for years now, for like 5 years. I've been talking to these people, and I've developed the skills to basically make any of my businesses online successful because I've been asking the people who are already successful.
Right.
You can't ask somebody who's not successful, you know, and you can't try to just do this out of I'm just going to try to, you know, create something, you know, wing it. You can't do that. And one thing that I've always found too, I don't know if you have, it's different for you because you do a lot of reselling, it seems, and it's a little bit different because you do the reselling. But for me, I have like the dating sites. Everything that I have is sort of like a clone. I clone a business concept and then I try to customize it for me.
That's good.
You know, and for the dating sites, I remember when I first started a dating site, I had people that were saying, well, there's Match.com, there's American Singles, you know, what are you thinking? And, you know, what I said to them is, well, I don't think Pepsi-Cola, when they first started, said, well, there's Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
There's always competition, you know.
Right.
What did you feel about that when you start to get into other business ventures? You think to yourself the same thing? Do you say, like...
I love competition. You know, I would love it. I would love it if 50 of your listeners would go out there and start in the pre-owned marketing seminar business. Because you know why? All they're going to be doing is advertising for me because I'm going to see what they're doing and I'm just going to outdo it. I'm going to do it better than anyone.
Exactly. It just pushes you.
And so those 50 people are going to get the word out even more. They're going to be an advertising source for me. And then it's, you know, the game is on. It's competition. Business is a game.
For you, it'd be even greater, too, because what they'll be doing is they're going to be creating a market, because the more people that they start to, the more websites or whatever they're doing, it would actually create your market even larger.
Right, and I'm just going to play the game and out-market them and out-value them and get all the business that I can.
I have to deal with this a lot of times. It's called buyer's remorse. I'm sure you're familiar with that term.
Uh-huh.
How do you cope with buyer's remorse and people returning your products, and do you have a way that... You basically do, like you said before, you overkill them. You give them so much that you know they're not going to return it. Like, how do you deal with buyer's remorse?
Yeah, I think I do have some people who return it, but I would say it's maybe less than 2% of any sales get returned.
Yeah.
And the reason is because I provide so much value, there's no way in hell they'd even want to return it. But there are going to be people who return your products, and I alleviate buyer's remorse by offering a generous guarantee. Anyone can buy any of my products, they can use them, do whatever they want with them, listen to them for 60 days, and if they're unhappy, they can get a complete refund. So I take away the risk. It's called risk reversal, and it's a concept Jay Abraham teaches. So if you offer risk reversal, there shouldn't be any buyer's remorse.
Yeah, I go way beyond that. I say 12 months because to me, it doesn't really make a difference. I think after 60, 70 days, 80, 90 days, they forget all about it anyway.
That's true.
So you just tell them right up front, let's not put in their mind, you know, like, let's put a limited time, like, oh, my God, I got to do all this within 30 days. That's a bad idea to do something like a 30-day money back.
Right.
So, well, you do 60 days, you said?
I do 60 days on my products. But, your product may be a little different. It just depends on what you're offering. If your product has substance and if it has value and if you're only selling your product to someone who legitimately should have it or is qualified to have it, buyer's remorse really shouldn't be a problem.
Well, I want to lead into how you fulfill your orders now. So, have you ever used a fulfillment house, or do you do everything at home?
Everything's right here. I'm sitting here looking at two huge bookshelves with all my inventory. When an order comes in, I walk over to my little pantry way hallway where my washer and dryer is. I have a shelf with all my boxes. I have a tape gun. I grab the item off the shelf. I tape it up. I print out a label or I fill out a label. I walk outside. I have UPS that comes by the house every day, and they pick it up and it goes out.
That's what I do. I do the same thing. I have everything pre-done here, except I don't put the packages together myself. Like you said, you don't put the pens together when you do the pen business. Most of my packages are done by my grandfather, actually. He lives right next door to me.
Wow.
So I'll go over there, and I drop off all the books. Actually, everything gets dropped off at his house when I do the orders. The shipping is right next door.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts everything together for me. I have a little bit of a payroll for him, but it's not very much, you know.
Okay.
It's just, you know, thanks for your time. But, yeah, do the same thing, you know, and then it's all done from home.
I like to keep the control.
Exactly. What's the biggest regret that you've had so far in your online marketing career or your businesses, in any business you've ever done, actually?
I don't really have any regrets up until now. I mean, nothing...
Nothing at all, right?
Nothing that I can really think of that, you know, any unfortunate experiences, if I've had them, it's just been a learning experience, and that's just part of business. But I don't have any regrets.
Okay. Do you have any advice to the people that are listening right now that are still struggling trying to come up with an effective ad copy? Do you have any advice on how to maybe something they should do that you feel that should be in every ad copy, or did you feel like you covered that before?
Well, I feel like I covered, but I'll say it again because I think it's that important. Depending on what you're selling, go research your market. What are you selling? Find out what your market wants. Go talk to them on the phone. Record the conversation. Ask them what they want. Let them talk until they stop talking, and then let them answer what they want. And then instead of trying to dream up copy, just take the words that's come out of their mouth and write that down and let that be your copy. Let your market tell you, you know, what to sell.
Mike, do you feel like you've achieved financial success so far at this point in your life, and what do you define as, like, financial success or life success? Maybe not necessarily financial success.
Well, I think financial success is being in a situation where money is not a worry for you.
Right.
I've got kids that I got to put in college, and I'm not going to say I'm not worried about money, but certainly I'm not worried about my rent or any of my bills. I don't have any debt, and I feel like I'm in a situation where I've got enough money coming in where I can focus on doing the things that I really love, not the things I have to do. If I wasn't there, I'd still be hustling pens because I had to put money on the table and to pay the rent, but I'm past that, and I'm doing the things I really love to do, and I'm making enough money at it where I'm not worried about money, and as long as I keep providing great value, which I plan on doing, the money will come no matter what.
Do you consider yourself an overachiever?
I'm competitive, and I want to be the best, so I'm very competitive. Am I an overachiever? I think some would consider that I am, but I'm not, you know, I'm not a maniac about it. But I do more than most, yes, I guess.
What about genetics? We spoke about this just briefly before, but Donald Trump is a real strong believer that it's in your genes. And I don't think I really believe that because my father's a carpenter, my real father's a painter, my stepfather's a carpenter, and my mother's a house cleaner. So they all do services, and they work for a living. You know.
I mean, I think there are some genetics for brightness and things like that, but I don't really agree with that.
His father wasn't. He was.
He's honoring his dad.
Here is another bonus I want you to know about. Extremely valuable. If you go to another site of mine called Executive Audio Institute, that's executiveaudioinstitute.com, all together, no slashes, you will see a site with nothing but all my audio recordings, all in downloadable MP3 form. Now, these are the same recordings that I have on hardtofindseminars.com in the audio clip section, except I will offer you the reprint rights to all of these audio recordings. In other words, I'm going to hand them to you on a silver platter. If you have a website and you need something that generates traffic, I will set up a custom site for you, and you can send your visitors to my collection of audio recordings as a bonus. You have here thousands of dollars worth of audio content on some of the best interviews on the internet. You have hundreds of transcripts that you can print out and share with your customers. I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. I'll even build you a custom site. All you have to do is put a small deposit down, but it's refundable once you introduce it to your list. Go on over to executiveaudioinstitute.com and read the first part. You'll see a link. If you want the reprint rights to these audios, it'll explain everything there. I think you're going to find this extremely valuable. It has taken me years and years to build up this collection, to get them all edited, to put the transcript. I've invested tens of thousands of dollars in this collection, and I want you to have it. Go check it out, executiveaudioinstitute.com.